I'm going to discuss something tonight. Of course, it's been discussed before, but I'm going to dig a little deeper into it tonight. Hopefully, it'll be a help and a blessing to you. I mentioned this morning the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm certainly concerned that a lot of folks in our day are lacking an understanding of what it means to be full of the Spirit of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to try to help you understand that tonight and share some things with you. I don't know if this will be really preachy as much as it will be teachy, but you just jump in, hang on. Amen. We'll have a good time. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body." I'm not going to go in too far with that there in verse or chapter number 5, but I want to deal with verse 18 primarily, and looking at that verse of Scripture that says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." As I said, I believe that we're living in a day and an hour, and the times that we're living in, there's so many folks that is have a lacking of understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I know that there's the charismatic movement that they say that when the Spirit comes on them, they do lots of crazy things. They kick and squawk and do all kinds of stuff and speak in tongues. That's not taught in Scripture. That's not biblical at all. And so we understand that tonight. We're talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit, but it's a control that everybody knows that it's a godly, and it's a control that we say things and people can understand what we're saying. Amen. And they see that there's fruits of that Spirit. Now, the fruits of the Spirit is not howling like a dog, and it's not running around like some with his head cut off. The fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and happiness and things like that. So understanding, getting an understanding of what it is, the work of the Holy Spirit, there's such a lack of that in our day. One of the things we want to get a hold of is that if we are children of God, if we are not full of the Spirit of God, we certainly cannot obey the Word of God and be a Christian that is Christ-like, and certainly won't live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And we cannot, by any means, obey God without, first of all, obeying the Spirit of God. Amen? A home, a Christian home, cannot be full of the love of God and be filled with the power of God in that home if mom and daddy are not Spirit-filled, if they're not godly parents. They must be full of the Spirit of God. If a husband or a wife is not Spirit-filled, if they're not Spirit-filled people, they will not have a godly marriage. Amen? Without the intimate, personal, and passionate relationship with the Holy Spirit, you're out of fellowship with God, and you will fail in your Christian walk, in your Christian life. The New Testament, there are three commands, commanded responses to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say to you, I don't always say this, but I'm going to say to you tonight, I have borrowed this from another pastor, and it is good stuff, and so I'm going to use his tool and beat the devil with it. Amen. And so let me say, there's a ministry called For the Love of the Family, Dr. Terry Comer, out of Arkansas, one of the missionaries to America's Forgotten Field, the family. The ministry focuses on the family, and he has given some very in-depth insight to being filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to use some of his material tonight, and I want you to listen and try to grasp this and get a hold of this. It'll help us. Amen? It'll help us if we can get a hold of it. I'm going to dig deep into this thing, and I'm going to give you some English tonight. And don't go away from here scratching your head and say, "What in the world did that preacher talk about?" If you'll open up your hearts and your minds and listen attentively and follow along with me, I hope that we can leave here tonight saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord and take something away with us that we can chew on through the week and worship the Lord. Amen? Through the rest of our week. Now, in the New Testament, there are three commanded responses to the Holy Spirit. If you count the responses to the Holy Spirit, you'll find through the New Testament there's 16 positive responses to the Holy Spirit. But there are only three that are imperative or a command for us to do. Imperative or a command mode. In the 3 of the 16, God says to do this, and to do this, and the other 13 will follow suit. You with me? If we do the 3 things that are commanded or imperative mode, if we do those 3 things, then the other 13 things will follow suit. That'll just automatically happen. All right? So stay with me, okay? Is everybody all right? We good? All right. The 13 seem to be automatic if we do the first 3. They naturally follow. For instance, praying in the Holy Spirit, having joy in the Holy Spirit, loving through the Holy Spirit, or worshiping God through the Holy Spirit. All those flow and are automatic if we do and obey the 3 commands that God's give us concerning the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at those 3 things. First of all, Ephesians says that we're to be filled with Him. We're to be filled with the Spirit. Galatians says that we're to walk in the Spirit. And then the book of Revelation tells us to hear the Spirit. Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. So these are the 3 commanded responses to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." In this verse contains what is called a contrast and a comparison. It's real deep stuff, I know. A contrast is where you have things that are different. All right? A comparison is where you have things that are alike. You compare the two. They're alike. Like me and the Hulk. I mean, we're alike. Okay, we'll move on then. A comparison. You with me? A contrast, listen, is where you have things that are different, like me and the Hulk. We're really different. I'm stronger than he is. No, I'm just kidding. But a contrast is where you have things that are different, and a comparison is where you have things that are alike. So the contrast in this verse is between the wine and the Spirit. Things that are different, the wine and the Spirit. The contrast is this. Sometimes unbelievers have the idea that wine or strong drink is a stimulant, that it makes them alert, it makes them aware. They have that idea. But as you study wine and strong drink, you'll find that it is not a stimulant, but it is a depressant. It depresses. It affects the nerve center. It affects the brain. It depresses a man's ability to think and to make judgment, to evaluate, or to discriminate, or to be under self-control. It depresses all those things. So wine is not a stimulant, but it is a depressant. Some people think that it makes them alert, and they can do strong drink or drink strong drink. They can do things that they normally wouldn't do. Well, that's the case. A lot of times people have to get about half drunk before they can do some things. I knew a man one time that could play a fiddle. I mean, son, he could saw the strings off a fiddle when he was drunk. But when he was sober, he didn't know the first thing about it. He couldn't get a sound out of it. And that's just the way he was. But listen, that didn't stimulate him to do something positive. Amen. He had to get wasted before he could do anything. So it affects your nervous system. You understand what I'm saying? It's a depressant. The contrast is this. The Holy Spirit is not a depressant. The Holy Spirit is a stimulant. That's why the Scripture says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess." It's dealing with something that is a depressant. And the Holy Spirit is not a depressant, it's a stimulant. It stimulates the man's intellect so that he is controlled by the Spirit. Y'all with me? He's controlled by that. The Holy Spirit it stimulates the intellect so that a mind controlled by Jesus, it's sharp and it's able to function. No man is capable of such love unless he's controlled by the Holy Spirit. We ask ourselves sometimes, how can you love someone who has treated you the way they've treated you? Well, it's because of the love that's in me that the Holy Spirit allows me to love them even though they've mistreated me. Even though they've said things against me, I still love them. How can you do that? I'm controlled by the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a stimulant. No man can do that outside of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. How do you explain the self-sacrifice of one believer for another believer? How do you explain that? How can someone do something like that in such a way to sacrifice themselves or sacrifice their money or whatever else it may be they sacrifice for another believer? How can they do that? Or why would they do that? It's because they're controlled by the Spirit. the Holy Spirit of God. I've had people tell me, say, preacher, there's no way I can live the life that you live. And I said, you're absolutely right. Without the Holy Spirit living inside, there's no way I could do what I do. Amen? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He controls me. Amen? He's a stimulant. No man is capable of such love unless controlled by the Holy Spirit. Let me find my notes here. I lost it. No man is capable of that kind of sacrifice except that he's controlled by the Spirit. Now, the comparison, that's the contrast. Now, the comparison here is between two verbs. Notice the Bible here says drunk and being filled. Those are two verbs. This is an English lesson, all right? Y'all in English class tonight. What is a man like when he is drunk with wine? What is he like? He's controlled by it. When he is drunk with wine, he is controlled by it. I think I told the story once before, that my neighbor's dad had come over to our house. This has been years ago. And he was drunk. And he came over and he began to tell the story how he used to be in ministry and how he used to do all this stuff and he used to help all these people. Anyway, he was drunk as a skunk. And he said some things to me. He said some things to my wife that was not pleasant. And he tried to offer my wife some money. And I just had to run him out of the house. He wanted to give her some money to go buy her a new dress with. I said, she don't need your money. I don't want your money. And you need to get out of my house because you're drunk as a skunk. And I don't allow that here. Well, the next day I met him. And he was just as nice as he but didn't know anything about what happened the night before. He was controlled by that alcohol, by that strong drink. So how does a man act whenever he's full of the strong drink of wine? He's controlled by it. The same thing is like, listen, what is a man like when he's filled with the Spirit of God? When he's filled with the Spirit, he's controlled by Him. Be not drunk with wine where is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. It's a command. All right? Stay with me. A man is controlled by the Spirit. The command has to do with the Holy Spirit's possession of the believer, so he controls every part. Just as wine controls the person who is intoxicated, the Holy Spirit controls the person who is full of Him. Here's an English lesson. Now, hold on. I'm going to help you tonight, okay? This is English class 101. English, every verb in the Greek New Testament has a story in it. Greek is a very precise language, all right? Very precise. Example, in English, how many words do we have for the word love? Love. That's all we got. But in the Greek, there's four words for the word love. All right? Y'all still with me? Maybe. Okay. Every Greek verb has a story. This particular verb, be filled, is present tense, meaning it's happening now. Okay? It's also passive voice. Oh, that's getting deep, isn't it? Also, it is imperative mode. Now, just hold on. Don't get turned off on me just yet, all right? I'm going to help you understand this. Present tense means I'm continually in this state. The being filled is a present tense, meaning it's happening right now. Right now, I'm continually in this state. This is not something that happens to me in the past, and then I leave it behind. It's not something that happens in the future. I know there's some denominations and some religions that teach that you can basically be filled along the way. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. I know there's other religions that teach that once you're full of the Holy Spirit, you begin to act like you ain't got no sense, and then it just goes away. Listen, that's not the teachings of the Bible. All right? Y'all still with me? Present tense, be filled, is a present tense. It is a continual state. This is something that is happening right now. It's not something that we look forward to in the future. One of the things that we look forward to in the future is the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. Amen. I look forward to Jesus coming. I don't look forward to being filled with the Spirit. I'm filled with the Spirit now. I'm commanded to be that way. All right? Stay with me. We're commanded to be filled. It's present tense. Then the Christian life, I'm looking forward to the rapture. That's present. That's hardly present, that's future, looking for the rapture. In the past, I look back to the time when I was justified. I look forward to when I'll be glorified. And right now, I'm being sanctified. That is presently going on. I am being sanctified right now. You and I both, if we're saved, we're being sanctified. In the present, right now, I am to be in this state. What state is that? Be filled with the Spirit. The second word is passive voice. That word means I am to be surrendered or submit myself. James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I am to be surrendered to this state. We're going to talk about active and passive for just a minute, all right? Active voice is I threw the rock. That's active. But passive is the rock hit me. Y'all with me? In the active voice, I performed an action. In the passive voice, in the active voice, I performed an action. In the passive voice, I received an action. Everybody with me? When it comes to the Holy Spirit's filling, I cannot go out and work myself into a filled state. The Holy Spirit is doing the action, and what I have to do is simply submit. Submit myself to the will of God and the work of God. Amen? Y'all with me? Lord, here I am. Take my arms, my legs, my hands, my mouth, my ears, my eyes. Take everything and fill me. Lord, you just possess everything. Don't just possess my eyes. No, don't just possess my ears. But Lord, you possess all of me, everything, and you control me and be filled. Amen. That's what it's to be filled, to be controlled, to be submitted to the Holy Spirit. Possess all of me and control me just like wine would control every part of a person that is intoxicated. That's what the point is here. We're to be filled, amen, and be submitted to that feeling and controlled by the Spirit of God. Let me say this. I cannot stop God's filling. I cannot stop that. Some people would say, well, Lord, you take my hands and you take my feet and you can control them, but leave my mouth alone. Some people don't actually say that in words, but they do indeed. Amen. But the things that they say, we cannot stop that. We can't pick what portion of our body or portion we want the Lord to fill. We have to accept it and submit to the complete filling of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? All right. Some people may say, there's an example here for you. I don't mind you have control of a portion of my life, but this portion has been, I've been a gambler all my life. And listen, I don't want you to control that part of my life. Allow me to continue to do those things, but I'll give to the church on Sunday. Listen, we can't be that way. We have to submit to the entire will of God. Lord, take every bit of me, everything. Filling is just a total surrender or submission to the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is a total surrender and submission to the will of God. This is good stuff, isn't it? The third thing we talked about, or the third word I mentioned, was imperative mode. Don't get scared. It's not dangerous. Imperative mode is nothing more than a command. What is another word for imperative? Is command. Listen carefully. Listen closed. Sammy Allen would say, listen closed. Whenever the Bible gives a command, then we are responsible. Is everybody with me? When the Bible gives a command, then we as God's children are responsible. God would not give us a command if we were not responsible. There's some things I didn't tell my girls to do when they was growing up because I knew they couldn't handle it. Therefore, I didn't make them responsible. Whenever they was little, I didn't make them go out and change the oil in the truck because, hey, I knew they couldn't do that. So therefore, they wasn't responsible for that action. But whenever I told them to shut their mouth and eat their cereal, they were responsible. I knew they could do that. Y'all with me? Whenever... Listen, that word imperative mode means a command. And God commands us through His Word. That makes us responsible to obey what God said. And God would not give us something to do or give us a command if He didn't think we were responsible enough to do what He told us to do. Boy, that's good stuff. Ain't that good stuff? I mean, that's just good stuff. Be filled with the Spirit. Every command of God is directed to one part of my personality and one part only. Y'all with me? All right? Every command of God is directed to one part of mine and your personality, and only one part. It's not directed to my intellect, nor to your intellect. Okay? It's not directed to my intellect because it may not make sense for me to do that. Sometimes things doesn't make sense. Sometimes things don't make sense. We're in English class, right? It may not make sense to me to continue to give my 10% when I can hardly pay my bills. Sometimes when you look at that on paper, it doesn't make sense. But it's not for my intellect that I'm to do that. God has commanded, and I'm to obey God's command. It's not to my intellect. It's also not to my intellect, or it's not directed to my feelings. Every command of God is not directed to my intellect, and it's not directed to my feelings. Frankly, because sometimes I may not feel like going to church. It's not directed to my feelings. Ain't this good stuff? The commands of God are not directed to my intellect because I might not understand it. And the commands of God are not directed to my feelings because I might not feel like doing what God has commanded me to do. But every command that God gives us is directed to our will. It's an imperative. An imperative is a demand from a will to a will. Not my will, but God's will be done. Amen? It's not to my intellect because I might not understand. It's not to my feelings because I might not feel like it. But it's a command to my will, and I am to obey the will of God. His will should be my will. If I will... When I get to that prayer meeting, when I say I don't feel like going, when I get there, the Holy Spirit will bless me. You ever been like that? You ever felt like not going to church? I think I'll just stay home tonight. But then you get yourself up and you get yourself ready and you go to church, and the Holy Spirit just blesses the mess out of you while you're there, and you shout, you cry, or whatever happens, and you have a wonderful time. So, man, I sure am glad that I went to church. What happened? You obeyed the command, and God blessed you for obedience. Amen? Happens more than one time. Happens also when we give. I can't afford it. Don't make sense. I can't pay my bills. And listen, and sometimes people miss the blessings of God. It's not that we don't write it down and we don't understand. That's not what it's about. It's not about our intellect. But it's about obeying the command of God. It's supernatural power of God that works in our life whenever we obey the will of God, and God supernaturally does things to put back what we didn't have to give away to start with. Y'all been there, experienced that too, haven't you? Yeah, sure you have. God supernaturally does things, but we are to just obey His will. Every command is directed to our will. That is what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants our will. If He gets our will, then He has got everything else. Satan, on the other hand, puts outside pressures on our life to seek to control our emotions so he can eventually control our will, which is our decision maker. Satan wants to control that. The point is, God wants your will. That's what He wants. He wants your will to be His will. Being filled with the Spirit means I do not have any barriers in my life where the waters, the living waters, cannot flow. There's nothing in my life that's hindered me to being used of God, to obeying God. There's nothing stopping me from God using me for His will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Listen, these verbs tells us the results of being filled with the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit, we'll be speaking, in verse number 19, singing and making melody in our hearts. Giving of thanks in verse 20 and submitting in verse number 21. These are the things that are the results of being filled with the Spirit. Every one of these is what is called a participle. That's a big old word for English class, is it not? What does that mean? It goes back and elaborates on the main verb. It elaborates on the main verb in this passage is be filled. The elaborations are when you are filled, you will do four things, and that is speaking, singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks, and submitting. You'll do those things whenever you are filled with the Spirit. If you will not submit yourself to those who have authority over you, you will not be filled with the Spirit. Listen, it's getting a little deep now, so just hold on. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The Bible simply tells us that we are to obey them which have the rule over us. Let me say, as it comes to the church house and the pastor, I understand that there are some pastors in the pulpit that abuse their authority. Amen. But as long as he's obeying God and in the Word of God and trying to tell you what the Word of God says and instruct you, it is your God-given responsibility to obey the man of God. Amen. Have a good time tonight, aren't we? Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves. The biggest problem, me and my wife was talking the other day, and I said, I think the biggest problem I find in ministry is this. Is so many people have problems and troubles, and they come to the man of God for some help and some advice. And I can take the Scriptures and share with them what thus saith the Word of God. This is what the Bible says. This is what I believe you should do, because this is where you're going to end up if you don't take some steps in the right direction. And they will come and ask me, and I will tell them, and I will show them. And the Bible says that we're to obey those that have the rule over us and to submit ourselves. Amen? And I have done that so many times, and they would go out and leave my presence and do absolutely opposite of what I said for them to do. And they find themselves in a wreck, in a mess, and their life is destroyed because they would not listen to the man of God. Seen that happen many times. Now, I'm not saying I'm the brightest Crayola in the box. I'm not telling you I have all the answers. I'm not saying that. If I can't help you, I'll find you some help. Amen? But the Bible teaches us and tells us something very, very important. We must understand this, that as we as God's children are members of a church, a local body of believers that has a pastor, that pastor has authority over us. And whenever he tells us, this is what God said, we do good to submit ourselves. Why is that? Because we watch for your souls as they that must give an account. I have to give an account for what I say and what I do. Amen. If I tell you to go out and do something and it's against the Word of God and it's against God, God's going to deal with me. As long as I've got my right mind, I'll never tell you intentionally anything to go do. Amen. I'll not direct your path in a wrong way. I'll try my best to always give you wise instruction and good advice according to the Scripture. Because I have to give an account for that. I've got an answer for that. Amen? Listen, I pray for the church and I pray for each individual, and I go through my mind every day, everyone that sits in the pews, and I've got you all placed about where you sit, and I go down those pews, and that helps me remember who's here. Amen? And I pray for Brother Fred and Chris and Jane and Ashlyn and Tanya and Clinton, and I go down through the list and pray for everybody all the way to the back of the church. And listen, I have to keep in mind that you are my responsibility. You're the sheep that God's given me. And I have a great responsibility laid on my shoulders. But the biggest problem I have is not me giving it to you, but it's whenever those that want it don't take it and leave it and end up shipwrecked. Then they look at the pastor, well, why you didn't do your job? Well, I did my job. You just didn't listen. Obey them. I know that word is not a popular word in our day. We're going to talk about some English words. Study that word obey. It's not very popular. People don't like to hear that. I'm not obeying him. Well, listen, the Bible says it's a command. It's not a want to if I want to. It's a do it because I said do it. Amen? It's a command. God said, hey, listen, this is not for our intellect. This is not on our feelings. This is a command to obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourself. Submission shows that we are filled with the Spirit of God. Why do they walk away from the preacher whenever he's given them good advice and told them what to do? They walk away and they don't do that. What happened? Well, they're not filled with the Spirit of God. Hello, we have a good time tonight, don't we? Told y'all it's going to be easy. Good teaching. For they watch for your souls as they that give must give an account, and they do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I enjoy trying to help folks. I really do. I had somebody come to me the other day, was trying to get some advice and get some help. And listen, I enjoy trying to help people. But it kills me and it breaks my heart when they will not take the advice. And they will not listen to what the Word of God says. It's not so much as my opinion that bothers me. If I give you my opinion, you can do what you want to with my opinion. But if I give you Scripture from the Word of God and tell you, hey, this is what God says, then you should obey and submit yourself to the will of God. If you're out of church, let me give you an example of that. If you're out of church and you call the preacher and say, preacher, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, woe is me, and I just ain't never coming back. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's the Word of God. The Bible says that we need to obey God and be in church. Amen? And if you do not obey the Word of God and the man of God and don't submit yourself to that, then your life is going to end up in a mess. Amen. So y'all got that. I'm moving on. I'm going to get off of that, all right? It's all good. I'm moving on. I feel better now. No amens, I'll stay there for a while. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 22, the Bible says, wives, submitting yourself to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. We understand as being filled with the Spirit is there's results of being filled with the Spirit. One of those results is speaking, singing, and making melody in our hearts. The speaking part is that we're talking about the goodness of God and the glorious things that God has done, the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Hey, we're constantly bragging on the Lord. Amen. Speaking or singing and making melody in your hearts. How many of you has ever just been blessed to the Lord and just all day long got a song on your heart? Boy, I like it when that happens, don't you, Brother Fred? I woke up the other morning and had a song. Man, I sung that thing all day long. I didn't know about 3 words of it, but I wore them 3 out. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit was putting something on me. Man, I just couldn't get away from that. Hey, giving of thanks, whenever we feel of the Spirit, we give thanks and we will submit ourselves. And the Bible says, for wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. What's happening here is God is elaborating on this fourth point of submission. Before you can submit to others, you must submit to the Holy Ghost. You must submit to the Holy Spirit first before you can ever submit to anybody else. If you don't submit to your pastors because you have not submitted to the Holy Spirit, if you don't submit to your husband, it's because you have not submitted to the Holy Spirit. Oh, preacher, I'm not liking this now. You're getting in something deep. Hey, listen, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If you're not submitted to the Holy Spirit, then you can't be submitted to anything else. Amen? Is everybody all right? Have a real relationship. We need to have a real relationship with God and being filled with the Spirit. My wife and I have a real relationship. How do you have a relationship? Let me just elaborate just a little. I'm going to run away with these notes here in just a minute. Let me just elaborate just a little bit on this thought. How do you have a real relationship? My wife and I have a really good relationship. Preacher, we don't want to know about all that. Well, we have a really good relationship. How do we have that? Because she talks and I listen. Thank you, Miss Kathy. Thank you, Miss Summit. Some of y'all got that. Really, seriously though, she talks, I listen. I talk, she listens. That's communication. That makes a good relationship. She submits to my will, to my commands. I say, honey, this is what we need to do. Okay, if that's what you think, we'll do it. Now, it hasn't always been like that, and I'm not telling you that it's always going to start off like that. It didn't start out like that, but we've grown and we've learned some things. And she's learned to allow me to make the decisions and make the mistakes because I'm the leader of the home. And if I make the mistakes, it's not on her, but it's on me. She told me, she said, that's a great day in my life when I realized it's all on you, not on me. She's still shouting about it. But we have a good relationship and she knows her place. And I'm not trying to be dogmatic, and I'm not trying to be a ruler with an iron fist or nothing like that. And I'm not that way. My wife loves me, and I love my wife. And I don't have to beat her into submission. She does it because she loves me. And she does the same sometimes. She comes to me, she says, this is what I think we need to do. Hey, listen, this is a two-way street. If I think that I've got all the answers and I'm going to do this thing all on my own, I've got another thought coming. Amen? It's a two-way street. She's got a mind just as good as I got one. Sometimes hers is a little better than mine. She can pronounce all them words that I can't. That's why she needs to be teaching the English class and not me. But we have a relationship. We have a good relationship. And we, listen, she submits to what I say. And she honors me by submitting to what I've asked her to do. She honors me. And I'm thankful I've got a good wife. Amen? I love my wife. And I'm thankful that she does that. But and saying that, I want you to understand this. That relationship that we have is a picture, it's a type of having a relationship with the Lord. It is a talk and listen and listen and talk. You talk to the Lord and then you listen to Him when He speaks to you. When He speaks to you, you obey Him. You submit yourself to His will and to His way. There must be a communication between you and God. If you don't submit yourself to God, you'll never submit yourself to anybody else. If you don't submit yourself to the will of God and to being filled with the Spirit of God, you would never submit to the man of God or to your husband or to any other authority you will not submit to. Now, I know the women's lib and a lot of these others will say, listen, that I'm wrong and that's not politically correct, but that's Bible. That's Bible. God made man the head of the house. God made man the head of the church. Christ is the head and man is the under-shepherd. You know what I'm saying. You follow me there. Christ is the head of the church, and He's made man the under-shepherd, under Christ, but He is over the church. He's the overseer, not a woman. There's an order to it. We get out of order, it all gets messed up. That's why so many Christians' lives are in such a chaos and such a mess, because they have not followed the order that God has given. And that order is for us to be filled with the Spirit and be submitted to the will of God. It's good stuff. Relationship is not a one-way street. God speaks to my spirit through His Spirit, through His Word. To have communication with God, I must first deal with my sin. To have communication with God, I must first deal with my sin. So to have a real relationship with God, there's a few things I must do. First of all, I've got to confess my sin. I have to deal with my sin on a daily basis. If we're not saved by the good grace of God, the first step we must take is forcing salvation. But it doesn't stop there. Whenever I got saved, does that mean that I quit sinning? No, I'm afraid not. I still live in this flesh. I still have the natural man. And I still live in a wicked world. So every day of my life, I have to submit to the will of God. And I want to communicate to God. So in order to communicate with the Lord, I have to bring myself before Him and say, Lord, show me. Reveal unto me any sin that is hindering me to communicate with You. Lord, what is it in my life that has hindered me or that will hinder me from communing with You today? And I promise you, the very moment you ask that, God, the Holy Spirit, will convict you and show you your sin. Sometimes people begin to pray, say, Lord, forgive me of my sin, and they move right on in their prayer. Time out. We don't ask God to forgive us of our sin and move on. Sin is general. God, what is it in my life that is going to hinder me from communing with You? Did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? Did I have a bad attitude? Hello, Tokyo. We're having a good time tonight, aren't we? What was it or what is it that may hinder me? And listen, there's nothing wrong with asking God. The Holy Spirit will show you what it is that is going to hinder you. And then whenever He shows you, it is our duty to submit to the will of God, confess our sins. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 9, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every single day of our life, we are to be filled. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And we are to submit to that will of God. And we are to ask God, what is it that may hinder my communion with you today? Would you show me? When you pray that and God shows you, deal with it. Accept it and submit to the will of God. That's easy said. That's easy preaching. That's hard living. When God shows you something that you're doing that is wrong, you have to submit to the will of God, confess that thing, and turn from it and not do it again so you can be right with God and commune with God. I have a thing that's been bothering me here lately, and I'm just going to tell you what it is. Because I know that it affects my ministry. It affects a lot of things in my life. It affects my stress. It affects my weight. Brother Fred, you'd be proud of me. I ate a whole bowl of salad today. And I got a question. Y'all know how to get a fat boy to eat a salad? Tell him there's a cookie in the bottom of it. I eat every bit of it. I still ain't found that cookie. There's a crouton. That ain't spelt the same. But there's some things in my life personally that's been bothering me. And I had a whole week to sit in the motel to talk to the Lord and pray. And I said, Lord, I just feel like sometimes I'm so far away. I just don't feel like I'm as close as I want to be. You ever feel like that? I know I'm not in a boat by myself. Sometimes it feels like so much stuff has come in between me and my communion with the Lord. Me and my time with the Lord. And so many things have to be done. It's life. Things have to be done. But so much seems to hinder us. And at times I feel like I've neglected Him. In a relationship with me and my wife, if I neglect my wife, guess what happens? She gets where she feels neglected. And she's wondering, what in the world's wrong with me? And then she'll come and ask me, what's wrong with you? But if I neglect my wife, that fellowship that we have, it begins to fall. It begins to get weaker. And we don't have a closeness like we once had if we don't fellowship one with another. And I feel like sometimes I neglect the Lord. Now I'm confessing. I'm your pastor. I'm confessing to you. I've not spent enough time with the Lord. I thought I was doing pretty good. But there was days when I didn't feel like I had enough. And you can tell sometimes when we come to church, man, it's just dry as it can be. It's dry as a bird's nest. Why is that? Because somebody ain't been spending time with God. And the Lord showed that to me and revealed it. So you pray for me. I'm working on that. And I'm praying that God will help me with that. I'm praying He'll give me another job. Hallelujah. That I won't have to work like I do. But anyway, until then, I've got to try to work my schedule out to where I can have more time to spend with the Lord. Amen. We have to ask the Lord every single day, what is it that is hindering me from communion with you? Things get in our way. Amen? Even our job gets in our way. It's a good thing to have a job. But when that job gets in your way, you've got to rearrange some things. And don't let the devil put things in front of you to hinder you from spending time with God, because he will do it. Amen, preacher? I'm preaching to myself, amen? Things will get in our way. Every single day we must ask ourselves, or ask the Lord and pray, say, Lord, help me. I want to have a healthy relationship. Confess my sins, get right with God, and listen, God will cleanse us from everything. We submit ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, please fill me, control me with your Spirit today. Each day we must ask God to give us His message for the day. I try to read a devotion every single morning of my life. I try to read several chapters if I can, or several verses, and I try to read a devotion every single day. And in that devotion, I say, Lord, speak to me through this message and help me today. I need it. Amen. I need that every single day. If we're not filled with the Spirit of God, we will not want to hear or to read the Word of God. And as we start our day off, we're to start it with the Lord to make sure we've confessed our sins, that we've communed with God, and God has filled us and God is controlling us. And as we go about our day, the people around us, the lost sinners, can see a Christian that is filled with the Spirit of God, and they want what we have. Many times the world and the wickedness around them, they'll see somebody that looks like they're having a good time, Especially with the teenagers, they say, man, what do you got? What do you own? Pass that around. I want some of that. I want to feel like you're feeling. Pass that pipe over. Pass that needle over. Pass that bottle over. Let me experience what you're experiencing. I want some of that. The same contrast we have tonight is in the Holy Spirit of God and the child of God. We should be acting in a way that people want what we have. Pass that over. Give me some of that. How can you do that? How do you feel so good with all you're going through? It's because it's the Holy Spirit of God that's controlling me, and the God of heaven loves me. Amen. That's how I'm able to do it. Give me some of that. Where do I get that from? Where's that living water at? Well, come on down to the church house. Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus. Amen. Or you can take your Bible, amen, and read the Word of God to them and share the gospel with them. Listen. We must understand tonight that the Bible has given us a command that we are to be filled with the Spirit of God and allow that Spirit to control us and to have liberty with every part of our body. The Holy Spirit should control our eyes. When we see something on the television set that's wicked and ungodly, we should turn away from it. When we see something going down the road and it's wicked and ungodly, we can't help what we see, but we can help what we look at. Turn away from it. We have to be careful with those things because the devil wants to trip us up and get us into a state where we are away from the will of God and not filled with the Spirit of God. Lord, control my eyes today that I won't look at something that's going to be hurtful to my ministry. As I preached this morning on our ministry. Lord, touch my hands today. Control my hands that they won't touch the unclean thing that the Scripture speaks about. Touch not the unclean thing. Help me not to pick up. And I still don't like to touch them. I put a glove on or use a shovel or a fork if I can. I don't like to pick up beer bottles and beer cans. I hate to even touch them things. Why is it? Because the Bible says touch not the unclean thing. That's unclean. Oh, preacher, you're just being silly, am I? What if I picked that thing up and got the smell in it? What if I got the thinking that, well, that might not be so bad? Oh, well, preacher, I would never do that. My flesh is better than that. Well, good luck to you. My flesh is weak. Amen. The Bible says our flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. So we don't do those things. Don't touch those things. There's just some things I don't do. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Amen. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Y'all remember that song? I wish little Hannah, you teach Hannah that song. Work on that, okay? Or you, whichever one of you are the singers. Teach her that song. That'd be wonderful. I'd love to hear her sing that. But that's the song that the children used to sing in Bible school. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, little eyes, what you see, little feet, where you go, little tongue, what you say. Be careful. Because people are watching us. God's commanded us to be filled with the Spirit. Be full of the Spirit of God. Listen, we're to confess our sins and get ourselves every day. Get ourselves in the mindset that today somebody's going to cross our path that we can witness to. Somebody's going to cross our path that we can encourage. And God, give me boldness and give me the words that I can be a blessing and a help to whomever crosses my path. One of the things we can ask when we get up in the morning is, Lord, who do you want me to witness to today? Is there somebody you want me to witness to? Then we can ask Him, Lord, who is it you want me to encourage today? Listen, there's a lot of folks that's discouraged that need somebody to just pick the phone up. Hey, I was thinking about you. You know how far that goes? That goes a long ways. Hey, I had you on my mind. Really? Man, people call me. I've had preachers call me. Brother Tyrone Jackson called me the week before last. He said, preacher, just had you on my mind. And I didn't catch the call because it was a 951 something. I thought it was a 900 number, so, you know. I didn't answer it. I didn't know who in the world was calling me. But he called me and said, preacher, just had you on my mind. Just want to call and tell you I love you. Appreciate what you're doing there at Heritage. Man, that's encouraging. I mean, it fired me up. I was ready to take on the rest of the day. Lord, who would you have me to encourage today? Then we asked Him, Lord, what can I praise you about today? Lord, what can I praise you about? Why should we? Listen, real close. Why should we ask the Lord who we can witness to, who we can encourage, and what should we praise Him for? Why should we start our day off like that? Good question. I'll tell you why. Because if we do that, we're filled with the Spirit, we're focused on others, and not what we want, but what He wants. Amen? Not my will, but Thy will be done. Without the intimate, personal, passionate relationship between God and myself, I am doomed to disaster after disaster and failure after failure in many parts of my life. It will always affect my wife. It will affect my children. If I'm living a Christian life in unrighteousness or self-righteousness, seeking to live the Christian life in my own power, I am doomed to a lot of pain and destruction in my life. And you know what? The devil really doesn't care. Either way, he's fine with it, as long as I'm not living a life that's pleasing to God. As long as I'm not filled with the Spirit and obeying the Lord, the devil's tickled to death. He's fine with it. I hope the message tonight has been a help to you. I know the English lesson was a big help to you. Come on, somebody at least say amen right there. Whenever we read the Bible, the literacy of the Bible is written in such a wonderful way. If you could study that and spend time in it, it's such amazing things that we find, the mode, the voices that it's spoken in, and the commands, the imperatives that's there. It's amazing what we find. Sometimes we just read through it and we don't really realize what God is trying to say to us. I hope this is a help to you tonight. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. And to be filled with the Spirit of God is to be submissive and surrendered to the will of God. All right? I hope that's a help to you and a blessing to you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us, Lord, tonight to be in Your house. Thank You, Lord, for Your love. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Father, for Your precious Word. Help us now, Lord, this week to take these words to heart. And Lord, as we start our day, every day this week, Lord, help us that we remember to pray and get things right with You before we ever take off. Before we start our day, Father, we'll see what it is that's hindered our communication. And Lord, we confess our sin. We get it right with You. And God, we'd be surrendered to Your will and to Your way. And God, help us this week to encourage others. Lord, give us someone along the way this week that we may encourage. And then, Father, give us someone that we can witness to. And, Lord, I'm sure, I already know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there's many things we can praise You for. Bless this week, Father, we do pray. Lead us, guide us, direct us, and we'll praise You. We'll thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen.